Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast, Vet Med into Fiction. Yes, I said that. We're going to be chatting with a wonderful colleague of ours and author and really interesting content about her book and kind of her journey. So awesome to see all the great work that her colleagues are doing in our profession. So join us in welcoming Dr. Claire Walker in the house. Welcome, Claire.
Hi, Adam. This is great to be here.
Thanks for joining us. And to our listeners, some great information about our colleague. From an early age, American novelist Claire T. Walker had two main passions, books and science. She pursued science as a career and became a veterinarian. Awesome. But now she's come full circle. When the workday comes to an end, Dr. Walker hangs up her stethoscope and dons the cloak of an author. And so she's into the whole suspense is her specialty, ranging from pioneering veterinary medicine thrillers to chilling urban fantasy, and even tales of the supernatural, reminiscent of Edgar Allan Poe, Shirley Jackson, or even The Twilight Zone. Well, you're chatting with the right person, Claire, because I'm a fan of all of this and then some. Recently just had my birthday on Halloween, so love the horror genre, the suspense genre, so this is awesome. Thank you for all the great work you're doing.
Happy birthday, Adam. Yeah, very good.
Thank you. So, okay, let's back up a little bit. So tell me a little bit about your veterinary career so far, like where you went to vet school, where you practice now, and I want to get into a little bit more about your books.
I went to college at University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, and I majored in animal science. So that was fun because I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, and I didn't really know much at all about livestock or agriculture. It was really cool to be immersed in that world and learn a lot about all the different species of domestic animals. And then I went to veterinary school right there at U of I, stayed there. And I graduated from veterinary school in 1991 and practiced for a while, then took a break to raise some kids. And right now I'm back in it as a relief veterinarian.
Excellent. Yeah. I ask everyone this. Did you always know you wanted to be a veterinarian? And my second follow-up to that, at what age did you kind of know?
Yeah, I did always think that I wanted to be a veterinarian. And like a typical, I think this is a girl thing, 8 years old is about when it was. That seems to be the age that people seem to want to be a veterinarian. And I just stayed with it. I didn't outgrow it ever. And I also kind of blame James Herriot for the fact that I'm a veterinarian too, because I read his books and they're so awesome. They're just so fun. And I just loved it. So yeah, I pretty much always wanted to be a veterinarian.
I love that. It tends to be the average age is 10 years of age that the data shows across the United States. And so you're right there in there. And I was right up there with you as well. I knew when I was young that I wanted to be a veterinarian because I always loved hearing about that. And so you're doing all this wonderful work. And then at what point in your career did you decide, you know what? I want to write some books. I want to be an author.
That has also been a thing that I've wanted to do my whole life. From an early age, you know, I wrote things. I love the creative writing in school in all grades, grade school through junior high. I took a creative writing class in high school, took creative writing classes in college, just, you know, as electives. So I've always been doing that as well.
I love it. And how did you get into the genre or this area of writing?
Yeah, this is fun. I was thinking about just weird things that happen in veterinary medicine sometimes. And the thing that sort of bumped me into the process of writing my first novel was the animal hospital I was working at here in the suburban Chicago area. There were rumors around about another animal hospital that was haunted. And that was weird to me. And then I also was thinking, what would be a veterinarian's worst nightmare? And I kind of sort of went on to a creative, I guess, a snowball or a train and just kept going, you know? Yes. And that's how I thought about the premise for this first novel. It's kind of what would be a veterinarian's worst nightmare. It's not haunted veterinary medicine, but that comes later. But this first one is very much rooted in the real world.
And what's the name of this one?
The book that I've published is called The Keys of Death.
Okay.
And so, I can tell you about that a little bit if you want. Yeah. So what that is, it's a veterinary medical thriller, and it's about a small animal veterinarian who gets involved in a whistleblowing scheme against a big bad biotechnical pharmaceutical company. And it actually takes place, a lot of it, in Urbana-Champaign. There are a lot of, you know, classic, you know, U of I locations on campus and in the town. People from there might know the Courier Cafe, the vet school. There are a couple scenes that take place at the vet school. The characters in the book are either graduates of that U of I vet school, or they teach there, you know. So people would dig it if they're familiar with that area.
I like that you have some of that authenticity of the town, because it makes it a little more relatable and kind of scary at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah. And then this is so interesting. I found out some stuff about the campus that I didn't know when I had been going there.
Yeah.
But there are tunnels connecting some of the buildings in the sort of agriculture, animal science campus. There's a building or a tunnel that goes under the streets into the next building. And I was like, oh, that is jolly convenient for my plot. And so I used it.
I was just going to say, that's got to set you right up for like some sort of a thriller right there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So
there is I love the haunted trails or whatever, but there was an asylum in Pennsylvania. And to your point too, there were these underground tunnels that would connect patients from one ward to the other. And it did set up a backdrop for some fictional writing that was happening over there. So I can imagine what that must be for this book, Keys of Death. And then you also have Lonely River, right?
Yes, that's the novel in progress. That's the one I'm working on. I'm almost done with that one. And that one is about a veterinarian who gets involved in a political scandal during a presidential election year. That is a big, hairy, perilous situation.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like that there's different, it's not just about veterinary medicine. So, right, there's other aspects of what's going on in the world.
Right.
So you wrote Keys of Death, and then you're finishing up or working on Lonely River. So that's two. Mm-hmm. Do you think you'll keep going?
Well, I did. Yes, I will keep going. I thought of a general plot for a third veterinary medical thriller, but I do have one other book out, and that's a collection of short stories. And those are supernatural thrillers. So those are very much, there's a, you know, wild stuff going on. And the short story collection is called Startling Figures, and it's three stories.
Okay.
I've actually, Adam, for your audience, I pulled out one of those stories. It's specifically about a veterinarian who gets involved in this crazy situation with these weird animal cases that come in. I pulled that out and I've made it a special free download for anyone who listens to this podcast. I'll give you the URL if you want it. Right now or at the end.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes too.
Yeah, I can tell you what it is. The website is, it's ClaireTWalker.com, Claire with no I. So go to ClaireTWalker.com/vet, V-E-T.
Oh, awesome.
And that'll take you to a page. Just stick your email address in there and you'll get that free book. It's called Tooth and Nail. And it's a scary book.
Ooh, all right. I'm going to get it, actually.
You would love it. If you like that kind of stuff, you would dig it.
I love it. To the readers, what is urban fantasy and how is it different from, say, the veterinary medical thrillers that you're writing?
Okay. Yeah, those are two very different genres. The medical thriller is an offshoot of the veterinary medical thriller is an offshoot of the medical thriller, which itself is an offshoot of the general thriller. And the thriller genre started with things like spy novels, like John le Carré and that kind of author, Robert Ludlum, for example, James Bond. Those are espionage thrillers. Then they moved into things like international military thrillers, like the kind of stuff that Tom Clancy writes, you know, the Jack Ryan novels. Those are thrillers as well. And then one of the pioneers of the legal thriller, that's John Grisham, right? He wrote The Firm.
Yes.
And then the medical thriller, the pioneer of that genre is Robin Cook, who wrote Coma back in 1974. I think that book came out. And so, and the hallmark of the sort of spy thriller, cop thriller, James Bond type thriller is that the hero of those stories is a professional in espionage, daring do, military prowess. They can do karate. They know how to use every weapon, right? They do all these hair-raising tasks because they're trained in this. The hallmark of the medical thriller and also the legal thriller is that these are just regular people the hero is a veterinarian or a doctor or a lawyer. They're just minding their own business, doing legal practice, veterinary practice, medical practice, and they get rolled up into some hair-raising situation. So what you have is not a professional thrill seeker or a person who makes their living doing all these dangerous things, but just a regular person. And what's so beautiful about that story, that type of story, is that person has to dig super deep because they're in serious danger, and they have to dig super deep into their own inner resources and find their inner hero. And I love that.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
And so, but urban fantasy, is that's different than?
It's a little different. Yeah. Urban fantasy is a type of thriller that's supernatural, like the medical thriller and the veterinary medical thriller and the legal thriller, even the spy thriller. There's no supernatural woo-woo stuff in there. But in the urban fantasy, it's a type of supernatural thriller. So there will be elements and of otherworldly stuff. And the hallmark of the urban fantasy is that it takes place in the real regular world, where on the surface, everything is normal. But underneath it, something is not right. There is some element of otherworldly things going on, like your classic urban fantasy would be something like The X-Files or Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Okay.
And also something like, a classic urban fantasy movie. This is a great one from the 80s. It's called An American Werewolf in London.
Oh, classic.
Yes, that is urban fantasy right there.
Okay, got it.
So that's what these books in Startling Figures are. They're urban fantasy thrillers.
And where do you get your ideas from?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I mean, I sort of fall over a whole pile of ideas every morning and go, okay, I got to pick one to actually work on and do. And but yeah, sometimes it's from the news, and sometimes it's from different things in veterinary practice, you know. Like I said, the haunted veterinary practice was a cool one.
Yeah.
And then the idea of what would be a veterinarian's worst nightmare, that was another one.
That's so cool. And I can imagine, like, so you're practicing and doing relief work, and then you have these ideas, plus you're writing. Like, how do you manage your time?
Mostly, I have to be honest, Adam, I don't manage my time very well, because both veterinary practice, as you know, is very demanding.
Yes.
You know, mentally and physically and emotionally and just intellectually, you're drained at the end of a day, right? And then trying to do creative work that's interesting and really good, is that's also very draining. So you have to kind of have a work-life balance.
Yes.
And also a work-work balance. You know, I have to kind of pick how much of each thing you can do. So probably that's why I'm not as prolific an author as I would like to be, because, you know, I got to eat, right? Got to work. But yeah, so I do my best, and I try to spare hours here and there. And as a relief, that's nice, actually, because I can kind of set my own schedule.
Right.
So, yeah.
And it's got to be nice that you have this incredible creative outlet. I always feel that the more I chat with our profession, we're very creative in so many different facets, you know, and with this outlet that you're doing, I mean, my gosh, I mean, sometimes your brain must be your worst enemy because you have so many great ideas, but it's a great way of channeling that creativity and putting it on paper.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, Adam. Sometimes I'll find myself sort of like walking around the house thinking, okay, what can I do? What should I work? And I almost sort of, it's really hard to rein myself in and go, okay, I'm going to sit down and do this, draw a box around my time and say, I'm going to work on this at this moment. And you have to make yourself do it. Otherwise you just, your talent, if you have it, or, and your ideas just sort of blow up or just blow away in the dust, you know, of life. So.
Yeah. And what is it about the books? You have this great book. What is it about them that appeals to veterinarians? I mean, we know that it has a little bit to deal with us. So, but what is it about that appeals to veterinarians, veterinary technicians, or other people who are connected to veterinary medicine?
I think that veterinary medicine, people, veterinarians, veterinary technicians, anyone who works at an animal hospital would really enjoy the sort of inside baseball and behind the scenes stuff of, you know, what goes on at a veterinary hospital. They could all relate to that. Incidentally, I think people who aren't involved in veterinary medicine would also find that interesting, like what actually happens behind the scenes at a veterinary hospital, what goes on in the back, you know? And the thing I really think veterinarians would like and get a lot out of would be the idea of a veterinarian as a heroic figure. Yes. you know, I mean, most veterinarians do dream of spending their days doing something really interesting, really rewarding, really making a difference. And, you know, contributing to the well-being of animals, human health, saving animals from very serious situations. And we love that, right? But it can be a slog. You know, we can get into a routine that's can be a bit mind-numbing or exhausting. And so I think this would be a good reminder to people that, yeah, you know what we're doing is really worth it. And it can be super interesting. And getting into the sort of heart and mind of a veterinarian, like what he or she thinks about this, like the veterinarian in Keys of Death is kind of at a crisis. She literally has this thought, am I doing any good at all? What am I doing? You know, this just seems like, oh. And then she's having a conversation with a colleague who's also saying he's having at a crossroads and wondering, I don't know about this anymore, you know? Right. And so the whole thing is to really jumpstart. Yeah, this is worth it. You know, the other one that I think would be a really good one to mention would be in Lonely River. I really confront head on the whole idea of the mental well-being and mental health of veterinarians. I dive deeply into that. The story takes place begins in Burlington, Vermont, and the veterinarian there, actually shout out to the veterinarians in Burlington, Vermont. That's where I did my senior externship as a veterinary student. It was really fun. It was so great. Yeah. And so I wanted to draw upon that setting because I really enjoyed my time there. Anyway, so this veterinarian is in Burlington, Vermont, and something really dreadful happens at the practice that he's at. And it's so bad that he leaves and he goes across the country to take another job. And he gets involved in a political scandal and he has to really dig deep to prevail against the dastardly forces, but he's also facing a huge mental health crisis. And one of the things that he's doing is he is undergoing court mandated anger management therapy because of the thing that happened to him back in his practice. So that kind of stuff happens. And there are people, you know, cyber stalking him and, you know, accusing him of all sorts of bad things. And I hope not too many veterinarians can relate to that, but we've seen in the news stuff like that happens and veterinarians get into a bad place.
Yeah. And I think it is good to talk about these things because I know within the profession, we kind of are aware of it, but outside of the profession, I would say about half probably don't really know about those issues that occur in veterinary medicine. So it is good to shed light, whether it be, you know, fictional, but it does talk about something that is, you know, relevant in the profession. So it's good that we have that conversation.
You're right, Adam. A lot of people outside the veterinary profession don't know about that. Most of the people who read the early drafts of this second novel, they commented, I had no idea that this was a thing. Yeah. That, you know, the mental health problems of veterinary medicines are such a high percentage of veterinarians are affected. Right. They had no idea. And so that would be good to bring that up.
It is good to bring it up. Okay, as we're wrapping up, I want to ask you, you don't know that I'm asking you this because I like to kind of throw the guests off.
But but go for it.
I want to know, what are you currently watching, if you have time, television shows or movies or whatever, what's your go-to? What are you loving?
Okay, I've got two things that I've been watching.
Okay.
One, I've actually been watching Clarkson's Farm.
Oh, I've heard of it. I never watched it.
It's really good. It's about a wealthy Great Britain. He's English TV star. He was on all sorts of shows. He's rich beyond imagining. And he's owned for a while this, I think, a 200-acre farm in this beautiful countryside in Great Britain. And the farmer who's been farming the land for him retires. And so Jeremy Clarkson thinks, well, you know what I'm going to do? I can do that. I could farm that. And so he goes, he moves onto the farm, lives there full time and starts farming all the arable land, doing crops, has livestock and stuff. Is fascinating. And it's a super good window into the current state of agriculture, which, as I said, circling back, I studied agriculture as a college student and I really enjoyed it. And I saw kind of firsthand what it was like, but that was many years ago. And now I'm seeing sort of modern agriculture. And it's really interesting. It gives you a lot of sympathy for farmers and what they're doing and what they're trying to do. And so that's kind of a nonfiction thing that I'm watching on television. The other thing that I really enjoy is the Bosch series. Bosch. It's based on Michael Connelly's detective mysteries about Detective Bosch, Detective Harry Bosch.
What's that on?
It's on Prime.
Okay.
And they're very good. He's a great detective mystery writer. He writes a sort of a modern version of stuff like detective noir, the old noir things like oh shoot, what's the name of the author who wrote can't remember
That's
the name of
okay.
him
I
now.
don't know
Yeah,
either.
can't remember the name of it, but anyway, he writes detective noir fiction brought up into the modern time. It's super good. This really hard-boiled detective mysteries, and those are good. So yeah, I recommend those. Clarkson's Farm and Bosch.
You got it. It's on Prime, so I'm going to watch that one.
Yeah, super good.
Excellent. Dr. Claire Walker, where can we learn more about you or your books?
Yeah, if you go to clairetwalker.com, Claire with no I, that's the website. And if you go to clairetwalker.com/vet, you can get that free download of the Tooth and Nail, the veterinary urban fantasy thriller. And The Keys of Death is currently available in ebook and paperback. Amazon.com is a perfectly good place to go to get it. It's also on Kobo and Barnes and Noble.
Great. Awesome.
So,
Congratulations on all your successes and accolades. I can't wait
yeah.
to read the second book. So it's going to be excellent.
Yeah, I can't wait to get it out. I really love it.
Yeah. They always said, by the way, it's not about the writing, it's about the editing.
Oh yeah, the editing
Right.
is a slog. I mean, sometimes the idea is just to write and get down a rough draft as fast as possible.
Right.
And it doesn't matter if that's particularly good, but yeah, the editing will save the thing. Well, like, I mean, the story of Star Wars, right? I mean, the
Yes.
editing saved that movie.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
So
and
good.
yeah, so it's very good. Yeah, awesome.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Walker, for being on the show.
This was a great pleasure, Adam. I really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, thank you. It's why we call it the Vet Blast Podcast. You know
Very good. Very good. Awesome.
it. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the show as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.